Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Today we're going to continue in the series on creation. So please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And starting in verse 14, the Word of God says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. On the fourth day, God made the universe." This is in direct contradiction to what evolutionary cosmology says, that the universe is about 15 billion years and the earth is about 4 billion years old. In fact, the earth is the oldest thing in the universe. It is older than the rest of the universe by 3 days. Now, we can do things to tell us that this is so. We can use Einstein's relativity formulas if we try to establish the relationship between the motion in the universe versus the motion of our own solar system and galaxy. And we're not going to do that here. That's not really the aim of this particular message. But we can do those things. And then we find that if the cosmologists that are evolutionarily minded are correct, then given Einstein's theories and the things that he has established and mathematically defined for us, we find that the universe must actually be hundreds of millions of times older than the cosmologists say it is. But it is not so. 15 billion years in that case, or a 9 billion year difference, would not be sufficient. But, be that as it may, God said that on the fourth day He created the universe and on the first day He created the earth. Now, we've discussed the Big Bang Theory. We're not going to revisit that today. But the evidence is such that the Big Bang is a nonsensical theory. And if we simply consider the laws of physics, if we consider the evidence that there is in the universe, we find that, as Andrew Lang said of Berkeley University, that the universe that is does not conform to the theory that explains how it originated. And in fact, he was right. The universe that is does not conform to the Big Bang theory. And it stands to note that, as far as I know, Andrew Lang is not a believer in creation. He is some form, I believe, of an evolutionist. But he was right in that what he said. And the reason why the universe does not conform to the Big Bang Theory is because of the order that was put into the universe. The order in the universe is not merely because God does everything decently and in order. The order in the universe is purposeful. God put things where He did for specific reasons. In Genesis 1:14, the Word of God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." Now, heaven there is talking about the second heaven, the sky. There are three heavens, the atmosphere, the sky, and the abode of God. When we are dealing with heaven in Genesis chapter 1, we are dealing with the second heaven, the sky, the universe, the space that is beyond the atmosphere of the earth. And it was given, the stars, the lights were given to divide the day from the night and to be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now, in the original language, the word lights is maor, and it's talking about celestial bodies, luminary bodies. So we know that God gave these luminary bodies, these celestial bodies, in other words, the stars. There is no ambiguity in the Bible as to when the universe was created. It was created in its entirety, except for the planet that we live on the fourth day. That is spelled out very clearly. And the firmament there is the vastness of the sky. And it was given to divide day from night. Divide there is Baudal Bane. And it means to distinguish between. They're given to distinguish between the day from the night. Now, when God created the universe, He created it in Psalm 19 as to have a message. The universe, and this is why the order of the universe is in the way that it is, the universe is there to carry a specific, precise, clear message. That message is spelled out both in the constellations and in individual stars. One of the best books I know, and we're not really going to go into depth about what each one means, although we're going to mention it briefly. One of the best books that I know about that subject is by Peter Fleming, God's Voice in the Stars. Unfortunately, it's out of print, but it can still be gotten online. And God gave these constellations, and He placed the stars within the constellations in specific places because they communicate the gospel of Christ. Now, this is not a new thought. In Job 9:9, Job 38:25, Amos 5:8, and Isaiah 13:10, the prophets of old understood the constellations and the zodiac in the same way. Now, right here is an important part to stop for a moment and clarify something. While the constellations that are today were the same ones that have always been understood, their meaning is utterly perverted today. I had a woman one time ask me, why couldn't you understand like your own personal future, because the vastness of the stars. Because the stars were put into specific places for specific reasons, and it was not to read your horoscope. This whole horoscope or astrology thing that's going on today is a demonic perversion to take people away from one half of God's testimony. It is a corruption brought on by Satan to eliminate a very large portion in Romans 1:20 of God's testimony to the earth. This is, in Romans 1:20, why people have no excuse. Because even if I do not have the Bible, I still have creation. And I cannot escape that. Every culture that has ever existed, even cultures that never possessed the Word of God in the Bible, understood the zodiac in the same manner. The amazing thing about that is that the zodiac is not a connect the dot picture. The zodiac is a representation. You can think of it in a similar way. For example, when somebody like Jacob or Isaac, they would set up a pillar of rocks, or Abraham, they'd set up a pillar of rocks and say, this pillar of rocks is going to be representative of this event or this thing that God did or this thing that God said as a memorial. Now, if you look at the pillar of rocks, you won't say, oh, God wrestled with Jacob here. No, you'll say, oh, rocks. But unless you have the understanding that that pillar of rocks has a specific meaning, and amazingly enough, all the cultures have that understanding, then that meaning will not be apparent to a person just by looking at the thing. But the cultures did. Throughout the ages, even today, see the zodiac signs in the same way. Just their meanings has been perverted. The word day is the same day that was used on the first day of creation when God separated the light from the darkness, and the light He called day and the darkness He called night. Now that word there in the original language is yom, and it means both physical and spiritual day. Physically, it is a 24-hour period, although prior to the fourth day, it could not possibly mean sun up and sun down, because there was no sun. But it is a 24-hour period on the one hand. On the other hand, it is the separation of the light from the darkness, where Satan was kicked out of heaven, and the kingdom of darkness was established on the earth and in the first heaven, the atmosphere. And it was separated from the kingdom of light, the day, the kingdom of day. Now, the night there is leo, and it does mean nighttime, but the literal meaning is very indicative of the meaning that the Bible is trying to give us here. It is saying a twist away from the light. Night, spiritual darkness, is a twist away from light. When I twist away from the Word of God, or when the demons that have fallen twisted away from the living Word, night entered. This is why in Revelation 21:23, in heaven there will be no day, in heaven there will be no night. Why? Because in heaven there will be no kingdom of darkness. The nighttime is representative in the communication of God in creation of the kingdom of darkness, and the daytime is representative in God's communication through creation of the kingdom of light. Night also represents here the gloom, talks about the gloom or despair that sometimes engulfs the human heart from the absence of divine guidance. That is the kingdom of darkness. And let them be, hayal is the word, means let them exist. God brought them into existence here. For signs and for seasons. The key to understanding the fourth day is this portion right here. For signs and for seasons. The word signs there is off in the Hebrew, and it is a signal or a mark, a sign. It's a miracle, and especially the real thought that it's trying to convey here is it's an awe-inspiring event. That is a sign. It's an awe-inspiring event. Seasons is moed, And it is a specific appointed time, usually for a sacred feast or festival. The Bible is not ambiguous at all as to why God created the universe. It was there to tell us the events of the gospel. That's it right there. Now, in Fleming's book, and we're going to look at it for just a brief moment, he gives the meaning of the constellations. And although I'm not going to delve into it, just for purposes of discussion, I will read from his book as to what those constellations mean. He starts with Virgo because that is really where the beginning of the constellations is. It's at Virgo. And the meaning there is the seed of the woman, and it's talking about the Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Libra is the next one, and the meaning is the required price paid, and it's referring to Christ, the Redeemer. Scorpio is dealing with the mortal conflict, and it's talking about Christ, the sufferer. Sagittarius, the meaning of it is the final triumph, and it's showing us Christ as the conqueror. Capricornus, or Capricorn as we say it, is life out of death. And it's talking about Christ, the sacrifice. Aquarius is blessing out of victory, and it's talking about Christ, the living water. Pisces is deliverance out of bondage, and it is Christ, the liberator. Aries is glory out of humiliation, and it's talking about Christ, the crowned lamb. Taurus is, the meaning is his glorious coming, and it is Christ, the judge. Gemini is referring to his rule on earth, and it's Christ, the king. Cancer is his possession held secure, and it's Christ, the protector. And Leo is his enemies destroyed, Christ, the victor. Or as one other person put it, Christ, the conquering lion. Now, he also goes in to the meaning of individual stars, and there's a 24 stars that he deals with. We're not going to go into all 24 with them, but I want to just give a very brief example of some of the stars, because the stars are given for signs and for seasons. The stars have meaning. The placement of the stars has meaning. Sirius. It's in the constellation Canis Major, and this is again from Fleming's book. And its meaning is the prince in Isaiah 9:6. Rigel is in the constellation Orion, and its meaning is the foot that crushes in Genesis 3:15. Procyon is in Canis Minor, and it's the redeemer. In Isaiah 59:19-20 and 49:24-26. Altair is in the constellation Aquila, and it means the wounded, in Psalm 38:2-10 and Isaiah 53:5. Betelgeuse. We've heard of this one. Most people have heard of the star Betelgeuse. It's in Orion, and the meaning of that star is the coming branch, in Isaiah 4:2 and Malachi 3:1-2. Aldebaran is in Taurus, and it means governor, in Psalm 22:28 and Zechariah 9:7. Pollux is in Gemini, and it's he who comes to suffer, in 1 Peter 1:11 and Psalm 22. Deneb is in the constellation Cygnus, and it means the judge, in Psalm 9:8. Castor is in Gemini, and it means ruler or judge, in Acts 7:27 and 35 and Deuteronomy 18:15. And then Eliath is in Ursa Major, and it means sin offering, in Leviticus 16, 15, and 27. This is just some of them. The stars have meaning. They convey a message. It's the message of the gospel. Can you see why Satan would attack things like astrology? Because it gives the gospel. He gave them for signs and for seasons. Yes, he also gave them for days and years. And their days is literally days, and years is literally years. But in the forming of the natural, God communicates the supernatural. And this is why the universe was created. Not just to be a platform for us, although certainly that is one reason, but more, to be a complete testimony. Not only to give us a place to live, but to give us a place to live with a testimony of God's purpose and plan. Now, in verse 16 of Genesis 1, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, the two great lights there, the sun is referring to the Son of God. This is why in the presence of the Son of God, everything else is eliminated. That is all you can see. And we are told in Genesis 21 that when the new earth comes, He will be the only light that the world needs. There will be no sun and there will be no moon at that point. There will only be the planet and whatever else God happens to populate the universe with. But there will be no sun and there will be no moon. And the Lamb of God will be the light. The lesser light is referring to the bride of Christ, the church. Because the bride of Christ reflects the glory of God. In the same way that the moon reflects the light of the sun. We as the full bride reflect the glory of God. Now God made a distinction there. He not only put in the moon or the bride of Christ, but He also put in the stars and He put them in darkness. You see, part of the plan of the ages was for God to be glorified, but an aspect of that glorification is His triumph over the kingdom of darkness. And that triumph is manifested in the individual believer as well as the corporate body of Christ. And that light is manifested both in the church and in individual believers. So in the darkness, there is the reflected glory that the church has of the Savior. But it is also the glory that is possessed by the believer as God indwells the believer as the stars. The stars reflect nothing. They have light that illuminates from themselves. The believer has God in him. And God illuminates Himself to and through the believer. The darkness is illuminated by these lights. Why? Because the darkness cannot overcome the light. Even though the darkness may be readily identifiable and evident surrounding light, it still cannot overcome the light. In Matthew 16:18, the Word of God says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ. Darkness cannot prevail over the church, the universal body of Christ. nor can it prevail over the individual believer who is indwelled by God Himself. It may surround that believer, but it can never overtake him. It may surround the church, but it can never overtake the church. It's spelled out in creation. Now, Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The word heavens there is talking about all three heavens. In other words, all of creation declares the glory of God. But the sky declares His handiwork. What did God say was His handiwork? We are the ones that He said in Genesis chapter 2 were formed by His hands. Handiwork there means the work of His hands. That is talking about us. The heavens declare is sapphire, and it's to score with a mark as a tally or record. And specifically it's dealing with celebration, declaration, and inscription. So the heavens declare, celebrate, and are an inscription of the glory of God. And the sky, the firmament, the sky shows His handiwork, the work of His hands. The sky shows, reveals who we are and God's plan for us. That's His handiwork. In verse 2 of Psalm 19, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Day there is again the 24-hour period. It utters. The word utter is nova, and it means it gushes out. The day gushes out speech, and speech there is the word omer, and the word means promise. Each day gushes out God's promises. It's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about what the Lord has spoken. It is the promises. Do you see why no one has an excuse in Romans 1:20? Because all of the promises are completely spelled out in their entirety every single day of the earth's existence with man on it. Man was not created until the promises were inscribed in creation. God would not put man into a world where His presence was not continual, and not just continual, but continually understood and declared. So even fallen man who had separated himself from God, even the unsaved man of today who rejects God, has God's testimony every day of his life speaking to him, so long as he is willing to listen. Many people throughout history have gotten saved because of the testimony of creation, and they didn't have the Bible. But they did have creation. They did understand its significance. And they said, there is a Creator who established these things. It's only recently, in man's foolishness, that he lost understanding of what things actually mean. Night unto night showeth knowledge. That word knowledge in Psalm 119:66, Proverbs chapters 2 and 3, Proverbs 8:10, 12:1, Hosea 4:6, Malachi 2:7, and 1 Corinthians 12:8 is categories of doctrine. It's not vague knowledge. It's not knowledge that's gained by the empirical senses. That word is very specifically talking about categories of doctrine. In other words, every single day, doctrine can be read in creation. Creation teaches doctrine. And not in the perverse way that today's secular science and astronomy and so on have made it to be, but in the way that it was created, that was understood purely until relatively recently. Doctrine was written in creation, along with the promises of God. In verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The Word of God says that every people group will have someone out of every generation in heaven. Why? Because no man has an excuse. Whether or not someone receives or rejects the Savior who has never even necessarily heard the name of Christ depends entirely on their heart. Depends entirely on their response and humility toward what is, rather than an initiation through arrogance toward what is not. It takes far more faith for me to believe that this amazing story that has been understood for thousands of years always shown itself to be exactly so, happened out of an origin from nothingness and locked in to its order. That takes faith. But to say that an author wrote a book takes very little faith at all. I have to believe that the author wrote the book, and that's all I have to believe. But at least in my mind, it is not so far-fetched that an author could write a book. The story of creation was written specifically, and the order that is in the stars is specific because just like the order of words tells a story, the order of the stars does also. I cannot say that happened by chance. I cannot say that War and Peace was a collection of words that happened to find their way onto pages without the effect of any intelligent person to write a 1,000-page book. Yet this is exactly what we are asked to believe, in a far worse sort of a manner. And as we will see when we talk about evolution in this series, the book that was written in each individual cell would take up 500 volumes of 1,000 pages at 10-point font. And we are asked to believe that that came in on its own by luck. Well, no more than the stars did. In verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. The line is the word gav, and it's talking about a measuring line. And it's a domain, a rule, and a voice. It's God's domain. God's measuring line is God's domain, God's rule, and God's voice. It is, in fact, God's great proclamation. It's gone out through the world. In John 12:48, the Word of God tells us that His Word is the measuring line. We are measured by the Word. And that was what's given in the cosmos. And the Word sets God's tabernacle. In other words, it's the Word that creates me as a believer. It's the Word that creates us as a church. It's the Word that indwells me as it has created me and forms me. And I am, after all, nothing more and nothing less than the temple of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5 of Psalm 19, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. The bridegroom is no subtle reference to the Savior. And he's coming out of a chamber. And he's coming, the word says to run a race, but really it's the Hebrew word orach. And it's a journey along a well-trodden path. Well, Jeremiah 6:16 tells us that the well-trodden path is the finished work. The bridegroom is found walking in the finished work. We as the bride are found walking in the finished work. Why? It's the finished work that allows us to live. Now, we are not the center of the universe geographically. We are not geographically the center of our galaxy. But there is a path within our galaxy that has been built in by the placement of the stars called the habitable zone. It's about two-thirds of the way out from the center of the galaxy. It is the only place within the galaxy, scientists tell us, that life is possible. The reason is because there's not a whole lot in the habitable zone. If we were any closer to the center of the galaxy, it is so cluttered that we would be pulverized. If we were any farther, it is so cluttered that we would be pulverized. How is it that we're not closer? Because that is determined by the metallic contents of the planets within our solar system and that which shares the habitable zone with us. Everything else has either more metallic content if it is closer or less if it is farther. Both directions, it's a very violent place. The habitable zone in typology is a form of the finished work. This is the path where I live. It's the finished work that gives the believer his life through the blood and the cross. It's the finished work that I can be sustained in and where I find a life. And it is represented in the structure of our galaxy. Everything about the universe is precisely given by God to communicate the gospel, to communicate the plan of the ages for man. God gave His promises in the stars. It's no wonder there is such a huge attack. And finally in verse 6 of Psalm 19, His going forth from the end of the heaven and its circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In other words, God, day after day, is demonstrating how He pursues the bride, and the bride follows the Son. And there is nothing hid from the light of God. There is no place, as the psalmist said, that I can hide from His Spirit. In fact, there is no place I can hide from His Word, because it is present. And it is declared every day, and it is unmistakable. See, the lights of the firmament really do give light upon the earth, in verse 15 of Genesis 1. They really do communicate God's story. They tell me who I am, and they tell me who He is and what He's done. It was put there before we were made, because the testimony of God was going to be proclaimed to man every single day that there was even one man. Amen.